Happy Friday, folks. This is my conversation from a couple of days ago with Green Party councillor and candidate in East Belfast, Brian Smith. Brian's been on the show a few times before, talking about his role in community development and youth work. Now he's hoping to go for a seat in the Stormont Assembly. So, it's an interesting conversation. If you want to hear these as they're done, as they're put out, please join us on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. You get access as quickly as I can turn them around, and it helps keep this show going. We have no ads or sponsors, only unfortunately me having to make these pleas. And if you're not in a position to help us, why not just spread the word, let people know. If you like what we do, share the message. We rely on you. It's as simple as that. Coming up, by the way, if you are a patron, is more coverage of events, tragic events in Ukraine. And I'm hoping to connect with someone in Gaza in the next 24 hours, depending on links and availability. We've been in touch. We've been talking to a few people out there and how things are beginning to escalate. And I'll bring you that coverage as quickly as we can make the connect. Thanks for the support. And please do consider going to the Patreon page and just seeing if there's a level that you're comfortable with. It would really, really help us. Thanks so much. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and as promised, we are back covering the AE22, as the hashtag goes. This morning, I'm on my own because Martin has had a change of heart. He said, "Oh yeah, no, I'm feeling better." Suddenly, he's not feeling better. So, if you follow him on Twitter, he follows you back. Send him a toxic DM or something and say that he needs to start pulling his weight. It's just not good enough. Bit of housekeeping. The live shows from last weekend are out now on Patreon. So if you are a member, go check them out. Honestly, it was a fantastic evening. Really enjoyed meeting the people who came and the guests. But a special shout out for the crew of Built Different, who did their first live podcast and really, really put on a brilliant show. Enough of that. I am rejoined on the podcast, and listeners, long-time listeners will be aware of this gentleman, Councillor Brian Smith, who was a Green Party councillor in Belfast County Council, but now a Assembly candidate for East Belfast. Brian, how are you doing, and are you mad?
Yes, and welcome. Greetings. Good morning from East Belfast. And yeah, I'm probably wondering what I've got myself into, but I'm in it, and I'm actually enjoying it. It's fun. But like all elections, it's frantic at the minute. When you're in that sort of the storm, you kind of don't know what's going on around you. So we'll see how it pans out.
And how, like, I mean, everybody's going to tell you, I made the joke yesterday that everybody I know runs for elections. I send them the screenshot of the old, the old rabbit ears you put on your old telly.
Yeah.
And I'd say, hey, that's the only good reception on the doors you're getting, son. How are you finding it?
We're enjoying it. I think we've only had one person that slammed the door on us. Some people will be honest and tell us they're not going to vote for us. But most people are open and they'll give you a listen. So we'll see. You're trying to make judgments on how people are going to vote. A lot of people are very smart and don't give much away. So you're almost taking a punt into the dark. And that's kind of what it feels like. But particularly when you're a smaller party. So this is my first ever assembly election. It's only the second time I've stood. No, I stood for council 3 years ago in this part of East Belfast that I represent, and I got elected. But this is the first time I've gone up in the major leagues, as you say, and it's a different beast.
Yeah. Just on the topics or the subjects or what matters to people. Sam was giving us a flavor saying that he was talking particularly obviously around his community, and he said, well, the protocol was being discussed. It was down to pecking order. It was, it was fourth, fifth, maybe third for some people, but it was, time and time again, top two were things like mental health, housing, good jobs for people. One thing he didn't mention, and this might be something that you might upset you, Brian, not many people were mentioning the whole climate crisis.
Well, funny, when we go to doors, people will talk about it. But when we talk, people are also talking about what the number one thing that people are coming back to us with is around the health service. There's 420,000 people on wait lists in Northern Ireland. So you're talking a fifth of the population, education system. So there's those huge issues that the cost of living crisis, these huge issues that haven't been dealt with. And now Stormont is, the DUP walked out of Stormont there a couple of months ago, and people are being left in limbo. So I understand. As a Green, I wanna sell an environmental agenda, but I totally understand people's priority. For a lot of people, is how they heat their homes, how they feed their kids, and how they get on with living from day to day. And that's, I've got to sell policies, and I've got to sell a green vision around that. But it is evident, and without a doubt, that these are the biggest things. And we're not just here; they're down south with yourselves at the minute as well. It's pretty tough at the minute. We've come out of the pandemic. We're dealing up here. We're dealing with the aftermath of Brexit. The protocol, there's been a lot of political uncertainties. I've said this before. I think I done the first show a year ago. We're dealing with crisis. And I keep coming back and touching on the same subjects, but we're dealing with multiple crises and layer upon layer, and it's hard to try and pick ourselves through them. But so, yeah, 100% that the issues that people are talking about on the doors are health, education, cost of living.
Yeah, and can I ask you then, when you say about that we've often made the point on this podcast that good housing policy is good climate policy.
100%, yeah. And also, I talk about jobs. I talk about East Belfast. I talk about reimagining the manufacturing history of East Belfast. We all know about the shipyard. We all know about the long tradition, but it's been long. It's been lost by the wayside in the decades since. I talk about, well, why not build a new economy around green jobs, around building renewables long-term, making Northern Ireland more self-sufficient. So that's the kind of pitch I'm going in at, as well as talking about people who are prepared to be responsible, uphold Stormont, make power sharing in the Assembly work and provide those short-term solutions, but also deliver a long-term vision. And I think there's something there in terms of East Belfast that is unique to the United Kingdom or even down south. With it's a post-industrial region. It has a shipyard. It has a harbour. I think there's something there that could set it apart, and it could almost be the catalyst for making this place work.
I made the point on the podcast yesterday that, you know, there's people have said all along that this is Sinn Féin's election to lose. You know, you're the Sinn Féin candidates and the UP candidates and Alliance candidates you're coming up against. But if it works out as it does, you said about the crucial thing there has been willing to make Stormont work. Because it hasn't worked. It just hasn't. And people keep talking about, you know, we never got our peace dividend. We never saw the benefits of it. There are still elements of like Mick Fieldy's telling me there's elements of the economy that are performing very well, much like the way we find it in Dublin. There's a bit of a two-tier thing starting, you know. Do you find, though, if you were elected, the getting beyond that kind of quagmire of, well, if a Sinn Féin First Minister doesn't want to do it, or the Deputy First Minister doesn't want to do it, can it work at all under those circumstances? Or are people just, because that's the most crucial thing, Brian. How do you push these things to actually have that long-term goal?
I think we need to have a conversation here about reform of Stormont. We can't be left in a position where one party, well, whether it was Sinn Féin several years ago, whether it was the DUP recently, walk out. And the place is left in limbo, particularly, and I think it's particularly heightened at the minute, as we say, with 420,000 people on waiting lists, the cost of living crisis, people are on their knees. But again, you're right, you talk about a two-tier economy, and it does. I think we're seeing that Belfast Harbour, Belfast Port is doing very well. There's certain sections that are doing very well. That's always going to exist. There's houses that I go to in East Belfast, and you know they're not struggling. But again, at the same time, some of these big working class estates, whether they're, and the vast majority of the big working class estates in East Belfast are loyalist. You've also got Republican short strong. People are struggling. So it's trying to find that balance. But I don't know whether I'm being naive here, but I'm more idealistic. And I think I am a sort of idealistic person. But if you get elected, you go in there to make Northern Ireland work. You go in to make Stormont work. And I think we desperately more than ever need to do that. I think, this is a huge election for Northern Ireland, but here, every election's huge for Northern Ireland one way or the other. I think that we're dealing with multiple crises, multiple issues that have got a lot of people on their knees.
Just on the protocol itself, I put it to someone yesterday that the protocol, I think, is a failure of branding if we're going to market things. You know, there's this element of course there are people and they have genuine concerns about what it means for their identity, what it means for who they are within I don't want to say identity politics, I mean within their cultural identity and what that means. But there's also it's also a golden ticket in many ways. You know,
and I don't want to be in the business of demonizing entire communities. And I think it's easy to do that. It's easy to be reactive. And I do think there's something there within sections of unionism and loyalism that feel that this is a threat to their identity. And I think we've got to acknowledge this. At the same time, I believe that the protocol is only the symptom. The issue here was Brexit. The DUP, if you go back to what Jeffrey Donaldson was saying a couple of years ago, he didn't see a sea border as an issue. The DUP sold this. I also think that this came around from the DUP rejecting three times Theresa May's different versions of backstop. So here we are. Here we are. And I know that it's currently being negotiated between the UK government and the European Union. The European Union have made moves around medicines, which people said wouldn't happen. And I think that's positive. I still think there's some way to go. But I also do think I'm going back to things that I've said to you before on the two occasions I've previously been here. I feel like that the people in Northern Ireland are mere pawns here, that we are being...
Yeah, I get this. I just want to make the point, though. If you were in power and you were talking, if you got a seat, there's an opportunity here to rebrand this and say, if the EU make concessions on a few things,
yep,
we have this ability to limit the impact on, you know, the sea border, to use that term, mm-hmm. and have access, whether you want to call it via north-south, to the single market, which is...
100%, and it could be huge for Northern Ireland, and I think there's something there as well that could be sold, but it's... I can translate it as a potential green MLA, but for those who are most aggrieved with the protocol, the argument's going to have to be won over by people from within their own communities. Because as much as I can say, I can see huge economic and social benefits to the protocol for Northern Ireland going forward. It will make this place more stable. It will make it work, et cetera, et cetera. I think that argument's going to have to come from within unionism more than those people outside unionism. I can understand where John Kane, who was recently a councillor with the Progressive Unionist Party, the political wing of the UDF, he quit, became an independent, and has moved across to the Ulster Unionists under Doug Beattie. And he talked about, I think that one of the reasons he left the Ulster, the PUP, was when he started talking about, we have issues with the protocol, but it needs reformed, he talked about. And I think he said that it needed a lot of reform, but he also seen the huge opportunities for Northern Ireland. And I think that there's something there that we need those, if it gets negotiated to a point where maybe those, some within unionism think, actually, do you know what? We can sell this to our constituency. I think that ultimately it's going to have to come from in unionism. I will gladly work with unionists to sell the benefits of the protocol if we get to that position when it's renegotiated and try and work. And actually, Northern Ireland can thrive here going forward. But this is very much a battle going on within unionism, stroke loyalism.
Yeah, and just to bring that out to sort of how it's been covered, it's been interesting in terms of the media coverage, how, you know, I'm going to say minority voices have been platformed to a larger extent. You know, the squeaky wheel getting more. getting the oil, as they say, but it definitely seems whereby, you know, the likes of, you've mentioned, you know we talked about the Alliance Party. I think they've had a poor campaign in terms of being front and center. Like, I don't know if their vote is going to shrink at all. That, you know, they certainly are. There's very little I know from your own party's perspective. You know, I think it was BBC have been, you know, taking the task for giving quite little exposure to yours, say relative to voices from the TUV, for example, who are quite fringe. How have you found that? And I have to caveat all this for our listeners, folks. All the criticism I'm aiming at, say, BBC at the moment, is still 100 times better than the coverage you get in the southern media. So that has to be said.
It's frustrating because I think the TUV have one MLA, Jim Allister. They have six councillors. As Greens, we have two MLAs, we have eight councillors. You've got to go back on this. I think that the DUP boycotted Nolan early on, a couple of years ago. Sinn Féin still boycott Nolan. They still won't go on. You've got to ask. So the DUP, so I think Nolan started going to Allister, Jim Allister, as a unionist point of view, but Jim would be more of the Andy Protocol, he would sit more on the right side of the fence when it comes to political unionism. And you I think it's frustrating. There's something we get. I've only been on the Nolan Show once, although to be fair, they've asked me a couple of other times. I couldn't get on it for whatever reason. I think scheduling issues from my point. But it's tough when you see when the TUV have been given an extra party political broadcast showing in ourselves, and you're going. And the justification for it, they're saying that they're based on opinion polls and that the fact that they got 3,000 more first preference votes at the last election, I find it really, really frustrating. And it's, for me, there's a sense of unfairness. I also think that there's something weighing, and it's not just within the BBC, it would also be within RTE and the media around the world. And I think it's come out of Trump. If you talk about the currency of conflict, that shit sells. You know, and you get some of the loudest voices on, and they divide opinion. I know you've got shows in the South, News Talk, Joe Duffy, etc. I don't know enough about them, but when I dip in from time to time, I see people foaming over the mouth at some of these shows, and it's a similar sort of format.
I was asked recently to go back on the old telly box. But to go back on they wanted to do a second season of a show called Eating with the Enemy, where they get someone who disagrees with me to sit down across the table and have a row. And
sounds great.
And I said, no. And you just want the food, pal. But I said, you're going to roll out an economist who I already know, who we've probably interviewed six times, who we already know what we agree on and what we disagree on. First of all, you know, it's all conflated nonsense, and it's all for rage clicks or whatever it was. And I turned it down. But it was just quite funny because I could actually see it. It was something to generate that kind of foaming at the mouth type thing that you talk about. And it has come. There is you called it? The currency of conflict?
The currency of conflict. Now, I read about this a few years ago, and it was in relation to Trump. And I can see how it's filtered down. And I think there's also something here with 24-hour news cycles. Back in the day, news used to be at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Now, it's constant news. And you also go online, and it's now massively online. As political representatives, we have to be very careful what we say, because if we say the wrong thing, we can end up on a talk show the next morning. It was a political correspondent said to me many years ago, it was actually about 10, 15 years ago, they said to me that this was related to Northern Ireland. At any one time, there are a couple of hundred people online constantly looking for an argument and to be upset, to be offended. I would say that's grown.
Oh, yeah.
Time since. So Nolan's just not part of that. Nolan's, it's just not around Nolan here. I think that there's wider issues. You go into certain Facebook pages of papers, it's a lot of angry people, and it's the same angry people, you know, and it's the same voices, and I don't know what the answer is. I feel like we're in some sort of mad, giant social experiment. Maybe in 100 years' time, they're going to look back on and go, "God, what was going on?"
We've gone a little bit off topic, but I do think it's important to point that I think the actual answer to that lies in the community building, the community development, the actual giving people agency in their lives, and maybe they have less time to be angry. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's the kind of work that I know you for.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's your. Go ahead, Brian. Give us your pitch. Why do you want to do this? Why do you see yourself wanting to go further from, like, because you have a job in community development. You're mm-hmm. working as a counselor, and now you want to go further in that. Why?
I want to make Northern Ireland work. I want to make it more climate resilient. I want to prepare it for, as I say to people on the doorsteps, I don't see this election just about the next 4 or 5 years. I see it about the next 40 or 50, long after I'm gone. I see it about as the planet that I leave to my son, the Northern Ireland that I want him to inherit. You can get bogged down around protocols and border polls, and they're valid. And I'm not the degenerate, or that's not, words are getting mixed up there, but not the kind of sneer down at those who feel that they are important, because they are important to some out there. And I think that has to be acknowledged. But for me, there are other issues. And as a green and a left wing green, I see that there's something here around solutions and fairness and equality and bringing people along with us. around. Do you know, though, that novel brain concept that's talked about now again, such as a just transition?
Yeah.
Do you know that sort of work? You bring those at the bottom along with you. That's the sort of society that I want to see, where people can thrive, where people can have opportunity. And going back to my youth work background, it's particularly around young people, because I feel that the opportunities I had around 1994, the signing of the ceasefire, and then the Good Friday Agreement in 1998, I feel that we've squandered a lot of that. And I think that it's tougher for young people now, that there's a lack of opportunity, that there's particularly working class kids, that I can understand. And my child's going to grow up middle class. I come from a working class background in North Belfast. I now live a middle class life. As much as I don't like to say it, I live a middle class life. My income, my wife's income joint, we live in a nice house. But there's kids out there that don't have that sort of opportunity that I had. And youth work saved my life. Youth work probably stopped me getting shot or kneecapped when I was a teen. I want to see those. So for me, that's the reasons why I want to see that opportunity be passed down. And I feel that we've squandered a generation. We talk about it was a peace process. It was a political process. We stopped murdering each other. That's brilliant. But we never kind of got to grips with our past, our trauma, our legacy. And I keep telling people that we can't look at these issues on their own. So when you talk about housing being a climate issue and a health, and it's also a health issue, that everything is interlinked to climate. You know, and for me, that's the way I look at it. And all our issues are interconnected. And it's about trying to think just beyond the health portfolio or the climate portfolio, or what does education mean, and start to link them all together. So there you go. There's a 2-minute pitch.
No, and I'm glad we got that. And the word you were searching for was denigrate.
Yeah, denigrate. Yes, sorry.
No, listen, the last thing I'll say to you mentioned left-leaning green. So the kind of eco-socialist vision that we're trying to put forward, do you also in that space now of moving people like PPP are putting forward more candidates in this election for the first mm-hmm. time, and are you receiving any kind of support from the Southern Greens? I suppose is the last point, a last question I'll ask you.
There's ones in the Southern Greens I'm regularly in contact with. I have a huge amount of respect for Paddy Cosgrove, Hazel Chew. There's people like that who I think that I understand the predicament, and then I know, listen to you, Southern listeners listening to this show, and you're smiling and you're laughing. The Greens took an unenviable position. They went into government. I had a vote for that as a Green on this end, and I voted against going into government. It's up to the people in the Republic to make that decision. Whenever the next election
is. There's no point of picking over the bones of the decisions since they've gone into government. I think there's always going to be things. They will have wins. There's absolutely no doubt they'll have wins. They'll have achievements. But some of it comes back to what you said about working class things. And my point is, it always worries me, is on this podcast, actually, Naomi Klein told me that any climate action that's an attack on working people won't work.
100%. And I would be of a similar opinion. We have to bring people with us. This can't be... It can't be a middle-class revolution. It can't be a middle-class movement. We need... Who are the people that are going to... So if I look at raising... Let's go to worst-case scenario. If I look at raising sea levels in East Belfast, what communities are going to get it first? It's going to be the Short Strand. It's going to be the Lower Newton Arch Road. It's going to be the Ravenhill Road. Working-class, loyalist and Republican areas. It's not going to be the people on the leafier Upper Newton Arch Road and beyond, or up in Belmont or Ballyhack. It's going to be those communities. So we need... Those communities also, to see them right across the city, whether it's in North Belfast, which is by the sea as well. As I said to a DUP councillor a few years ago, when he was asking me about climate change, and I said to him, it's called the Shore Road for a reason. And he looked at me and he went, right, it suddenly kind of dawned on him, which is a big unionist loyalist area. I said, it's called the Shore Road for a reason. So it's about putting policies in place that are going to protect the most vulnerable. It's about putting policies in place. And as I said about, I look at the shipyard and the harbour, and why can we not start building renewables? Why can we not start making Northern Ireland more self-sufficient? I look across the water, place somewhere like Humberside. It's a post-industrial region. They're developing what's called green industrial clusters on old on similar sites, onshore, offshore, wind, research and development. They're creating, it's about building a new economy. So why can we not build a new economy in East Belfast? Start offering, you offer social clauses into what you're doing. You take young, you give young people from working class backgrounds apprenticeships. You get them out of poverty. You take them away from the scourge of paramilitarism, which is a factor here. And you start trying to give people opportunity. And you start, and again, maybe me being an idealist, I think politics should be inspirational. I think politics, there should be something there. I'm not here for stick and plaster politics. I want politics that can lift people up. I feel like I'm going to break into song in a minute.
Yeah. No, I think Brian Smith of the Greens, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. We will play out with the Brian has joined me in the campaign to say when we do have a United Ireland to make sure the Indie Disco by Divine Comedy is the national anthem of a new United Ireland. So we'll play.
I don't know, man. I'm still happy enough with alternative Ulster. I don't know. There's a long way to go before you sell me down that road, mate.
We have to pick the main things are the national dish, coddle. The national flower is apparently going to be a I don't know what they call it, a lump of turf. And then we're going to go with something by the Divine Comedy, because no one dislikes the Divine Comedy. You know, that's just the way it is.
If anybody dislikes stiff little fingers, it shouldn't be trusted.
Yeah, if we leave it there, folks. Thanks again, Brian, and best of luck, because I know it's a tough constituency you're putting yourself forward to. So best of luck with it, pal.
Thanks very much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony.